This morning, we've been on Wednesday nights, we've been talking about holiness. And last Wednesday night, we really had a good discussion. We left with just really, just really had a great discussion. I mean, we actually was here until almost 8 o'clock, wasn't it? Talking. I mean, we just got carried away talking, and there's nothing wrong with that, is there? And, I have so much to say about this subject. There's just so much, that I'd like to share with you, and I was like, I'm reading and studying and I'm writing out, and I'm thinking, man, I got like 3 hours worth of notes here. And I'm thinking, they're not going to sit and listen to me for 3 hours. I said, so I got to at least cut it in half, I promise I won't do that to you. But, when you get carried away, when it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to my relationship with Christ, I get caught up in it. I mean, it just really, it's an emotional thing for me when I study and I read. And it's just the more and more, the closer I get to Christ, the closer I get to God, it just becomes, it's compelling to me. It's drawing to me. I want to know more about Him. I want to know more about myself, but I want to know more about Him. And, we as a Nazarene church, we are a holiness church is what we stand on. Is it possible to live a holy life? There's a lot of people that question that. Is it possible? Can you be set apart for God's purpose? Can you be? It really is dictated by our choices or the choice that we make to change things in our life that put us closer to God. That's what dictates that. You can choose to be close to God or you can choose not to be close to God. It's choices. We got to take advantage of the chances that God gives. We have chances every day to get closer to God. And God wants us to take advantage of those chances, but sometimes we get so caught up in the world, in our lives, that we don't take those chances that God gives us. Sunday, church, is a chance to get closer to God. It's not only a time we come together as a body of Christ to praise and worship our Lord and Savior, but it's a time that we can come and draw closer to God together. Romans chapter 12 says this, verse 1 and 2, says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. The Apostle Paul, he earnestly and persistently tries to persuade. That's what that word urge means. That's the long version. That's what urge means. He persistently, he urges us in a persistent way, earnestly, to pursue God. To try to get close to Him. He says that as a believer of Christ that we must offer our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. What's that look like? As a believer, we shouldn't conform to this world. I see too many churches out there conforming to the world's views instead of conforming to God's views and staying connected to God. And it distracts, pulls us away from that holy life that God desires us to live. So he says, don't conform to the world's standards, but allow God to renew our minds to know and to live out God's will for our lives. Do you know what God's will is for your life? Do you? His desire is to have a relationship with you. This living sacrifice is, it's not like a dead animal placed upon the altar to be burned. It's a living We're supposed to live out what God wants us to do. We're supposed to live that out every day, you know, to know and to live out God's will in our lives. Living not dead. Dead to sin. You know, this transformation, you know, we have a transformation in our life that happened, right? When you got saved, weren't you changed? Amen? Meaning that the way you were before is not the way you are now. Paul refers to it as the former things. We talked about that Wednesday night. The former things. This is who I was before. Man, I was a pretty bad dude before. But that was former. That's who I was. This is who I am now. I'm alive in Christ. So is it possible to live a life that is holy? Is it possible to be sanctified or set apart for God? Is it possible to live without sin in your life? Whoa, that's a big one. There's a debate over that one, right? Because there's people that believe that you sin every day and you can't help it. That you sin thought, word, and deed, and that's just part of your life. And I say, you know what? That's not a transformed life. That's the former life. That's who you were. And because of God's grace, you're now transformed by the Holy Spirit. You're somebody new. You're a new creation. You become new. It is possible. Yes, it is possible. And the only way, though, it is possible is that by laying down our lives. We have to sacrifice our life. We have to live for Him. That's that living sacrifice. We have to lay things down, and we have to, you know, we have to lay them down and allow God, the perfect Savior, and allow the Holy Spirit to give us the power and the strength to do so. Because we can't do it on our own. It's only by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit can we endure this world. It's the only way that we can live and walk in the Spirit and not by the flesh. Because that's His desire. If you walk in the Spirit, you're going to walk in life. If you walk in the flesh, it leads to death. Right?
Yes, sir.
You know, I pray today that we allow God to open up doors in our heart. Open up doors in our life that we're willing to open up and not keep those doors shut. That He can deal with those things in our life that we need to deal with that puts us in a closer relationship with Him. That's my prayer for you all today. I cannot do it without Jesus, and neither can you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Let it be. Amen. You know, the choices we make and have made in our lives is what leads us toward or away from God. You know, I came to the Nazarene Church 32 years ago. I'd never been in a Nazarene church before. You know, I was raised in a Pentecostal church. You know, that's just what I knew. My grandfather was a Pentecostal pastor, so that's where we went to church. You know? And so I knew that is what church was. And so, you know, when I was, joined the military and moved away from home, went out to Colorado and was working out there. And so I had transferred out there. And so my mom, you know, she'd kind of talked me into coming back to go to school because I had a GI Bill. And she's like, come back and go to school this winter. So I didn't have to work through the winter because winters are horrible where I lived in Colorado. Unless you like to snow ski, and it's not my thing. I'm more of a tumbler than a skier. But anyway, so I come back to school and went to Johnny Logan, met my wife. She wasn't my wife then, I mean, you know. So I met her, you know, and of course her family came here. So me wanting to get to know her better, and I came here to church. So that was my first interaction with the Nazarene church, you hear these choices I had to make. I could have stayed in Colorado. I could have went to school out there. I could have chose to do those things, but for some reason I chose to come back home, and then I chose to chase after Leanne. I'm serious. And then I chose to come to church with her, which led to me, and look where I'm at now. Choices that we make lead to certain directions. Would I be here today if it wasn't for the choices that I made? Now, I wasn't really saved then. We're gonna get back to that in a minute. But after I was saved, once I got involved in the church and Lee and I got married, we got married right here in this church. It's kind of strange. I remember getting saved right here at this altar. Still see nail marks in it. I mean, that was me. That was my experience. Okay? This is why I'm trying to get to all this. But my experience in the Nazarene church, once I started learning about what the church was about, it was really good for me. It fit me. It fit who I was. I agreed with their beliefs. I agreed with how they thought. I knew that there was more. I wanted more. I desired more than just a mediocre Christian life. So I had this desire for that. Plus, being a Nazarene, if it was good enough for Jesus, a Nazarene, it's probably good enough for me to be a Nazarene too, if I wanted to be closer to God. but there are 16 fundamental truths the Church of the Nazarene believe and we practice. It's what makes Nazarenes Nazarenes. When I began to study what Nazarenes were all about, When you start studying about this, you'll realize that there's thousands of Nazarene churches all over the world. Thousands and thousands. There's thousands in America, but there's more churches outside the U.S. than there are in the U.S. We're very, very mission-minded. You read any of the Nazarene literature that comes out, you're gonna see it's directed towards missions. Very mission-minded. We're bigger outside the U.S. than we are in the U.S. When I first became a Nazarene, people used to say, "What's that?" There's still people in this town when I tell them I pastor Nazarene Church. There's people who've lived in Ann all their life that don't know where the church is. There's people like that. Now, there's a lot that know. They'll say, "Where's that at?" And I said, "On 51 North. It's the building that's been there since 1966. Is that by the seed company?" Like, "No. It's on down the road just a little bit. Big brick building." And then they're like, "Oh, yeah, I know where that's at." But, explaining to somebody, I was like, "Well, we're Wesleyan, we're kind of like Methodist, but we're not." Trying to explain to somebody, you guys that have been Nazarenes for many years, could you explain to somebody what it means to be a Nazarene? What we're all about? Tell them what you believe. Talk about Phineas Burzee, and he was a Methodist minister, but he didn't like what they were doing. And what started the holiness movement is, the Methodist churches and some of the others. Now, I'm not picking on the Methodists, don't get me wrong, but some of the churches at that time were moving out of communities because they were getting rough. They were getting deprived. And they were wanting to cater to doctors and lawyers and more of the elite. So they'd move into better neighborhoods, and Phineas Burzee was like, "Hey, wait a second, what about all these guys over here?" And so the Nazarene church started, this holiness movement started. The Nazarene church started saying, "Okay, we're going to buy their building that they just moved out of because we want to be there." And so they started catering to the alcoholics and the drug addicts. And let me tell you, back in the early 1900s, there's a lot of opioid abuse then. A lot of alcohol abuse. People in Los Angeles, they were struggling. They needed to hear about Jesus. They needed somebody there. And the Church of the Nazarene started that ministry. You know, so as a Nazarene, we have this holiness background. You know, here's the official statement we believe. What is a Nazarene? The Church of the Nazarene is an evangelical Christian denomination that shares their beliefs with most Protestant Bible-believing churches. We are the largest Wesleyan holiness church in the world. And what separates us from our brothers and sisters' churches is our belief in sanctification as a second work of grace. So to go back to the question, is it possible to live a life of holiness? Yes, with God's help, it is. We believe that this entire sanctification is the act of God subsequent to the regeneration by which believers are made free from original sin or depravity and brought into a state of entire devotion of God and the holy obedience of love made perfect. You know, what the Nazarenes believe to the Word of God is that we are all born sinners because of the fall of man, and we were born in need of a Savior. You don't disagree with that, do you? Amen? We all needed saved. We're not good people trying to stay good. That's not what it's. That's not who we are. We're sinners who have fallen and in need of a Savior to redeem us. That's who we are. Jesus is that Savior. Amen? And the only way to God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's it. We've got to be born again. We've got to be born again. We were born into sin, and we must have a born-again experience through Jesus Christ. Man, I'm telling you, when you get saved, there's an experience that happens in your life, and it happens differently for each and every one of us. And I think sometimes sanctification is misunderstood that way too, because we are so focused on an experience that one person had that we think that everybody should have that same experience. And it's not always like that. I love to hear the experiences when people talk about how the power of God fell on their life and the windows of heaven opened up and they just felt that, you know. I've had those experiences in my life. The power of the Holy Spirit is extraordinary. And let me tell you, it's life-changing when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you. There's no way to explain it. This experience that we have. But each and every one of us, there's not one person here this morning that's not different from the other. Praise God. There's not two of me. But see, we all have different experiences. We've had a different... Who here got saved in the church? Here had an altar experience that just changed their life? Okay? 5, 6? Okay? Who here got saved in their living room? 6, 7, 8? Brother Curly, I know you did. See, I mean, I could keep asking questions. We all got saved somewhere. Some people got saved out in the woods, knelt down at an old tree stump. Man, I've heard some powerful stories about how people got saved. Amen. See, I mean, that's where our experiences are, and they're all different. The same with sanctification. I'm talking about sanctification this morning. I'm talking about holiness. I'm going to get to that. See, it begins with this experience with God, and God goes out before us, and it's called prevenient grace. You've heard of that before? This prevenient grace is God going after us and drawing us to Himself. And I remember that, you know, when I talked about being in Colorado, and I really wasn't saved then, but yet I come back here, and I get, you know, this happens, and this happens, and this happens, and next thing you know, I get brought around to a place where now I'm in I have this chance to respond to God calling me. Now that could have been anywhere in the world. But see, that's my experience because of the choices that I made that brought me back here to accept that chance that God... Now did God give me chances before? Absolutely. As a kid, I used to go with my grandfather at times and play music for revivals. I heard preaching. I was in church all my life. I knew all about it, but never had experienced Christ in my life. Never had experienced the power of the Holy Spirit until I listened and obeyed and had that experience with Him. And it just happened to be here. So that prevenient grace, that God going after us and drawing us, I can remember times in my life where God is like, you don't need to be here. And I'm like, you know, I wasn't saved then, but I've just, you don't need to be here. This is not a place you need to be. So then I had a choice to either respond to that and listen. I had that happen once. I did. Twice, three times, five times, probably more than I can ever count. See, then we have this convicting grace. It's God showing us that we need a Savior. He reveals our sin to us. Nobody else has to. I don't have to tell my neighbor he's doing wrong. I'm just telling you, God's convicting grace is pretty miserable, isn't it, at times? Man, He shows us what we need to change. But praise God for His saving grace. Amen.
Amen.
It's God providing a way for salvation, and that's through Jesus Christ. And then we have His sanctifying grace, is God setting us apart for His honor and glory working through our lives. That's why I want more of Him. I want all I can get of Him. And we have that sustaining grace. It's Him empowering our lives to live it according to His will and ways. That's what the Holy Spirit's all about. It's His will and His way. It's God's grace that starts and finishes things. You know, you've probably heard this before, but grace, the grace word stands for God's riches at Christ's expense. That's what it stands for. Sanctification is one of the works of grace, and you cannot have a sanctifying moment without first coming to Christ's salvation in the first step. There's more that God wants to do with your life, and it begins in becoming a child of God. Amen?
Amen.
Becoming a believer is just the beginning. Man, I'm telling you, God has so much more. He'll take you places that you never thought you could. He'll allow you to do things you never thought you could do. That's why the best choice you could ever make is accepting Jesus Christ in your life. Amen?
Amen.
The next best choice is allowing the Holy Spirit of God to work in your life and empower you to do the work that God calls you all to do. He calls me, He calls you. Don't think that it's only for preachers or Sunday school teachers. It's for all of God's people. He's calling you. These choices, we all have made some, we've all made some pretty bad choices before in our life, I know. But there's not one of us that does not have something that we would have changed. If we'd had a chance, right? We'd do it over. If we had a chance to do a do-over. I wish that was possible. There's a lot of times in my life I wished I could go back and do it over. I believe that there are many Christians saved on their way to heaven, but limping into heaven because they chose not to let God empower them and live that life, you know. That's why there's more to it. It's this life of being in Christ is more than just barely getting by. Come on. There's a lot of depressed Christians out there. And, oh, I'm doing all right today. Praise God. You know. He doesn't want us that way. He wants us to have a life abundantly, spiritually, full of joy and love and peace. And it's not that we won't have physical issues and physical problems and things of this world won't try to drag us down, because that's going to happen. Jesus said trials will come. Yep. Trials will come. You're going to deal with some stuff. You know, but we have an opportunity to live in God's power or to try to live on our own power. Let me tell you, it's better with God's power. Amen.
Amen.
1 Thessalonians 5, 23-24, may God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Man, I love that. It says He will do it. You ever wonder why you have good intentions, but you always seem to fail? And you do things that you did not intend to do? You ever been there? Paul talked about that. He says this big, confusing, long thing that's hard to read sometimes. You got to slow down and just read it. Romans chapter 7, 15, 20 talks about that. He says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it.
Right.
Say that three times fast. But what he's saying is, it's the sin, it's the devil inside, it's the flesh that does these things, and he's saying, man, apart from Christ, that's what you're going to do. You're going to do those things that you don't want to do, and you're going to struggle with all that stuff. That's why it's so important that we get rid of all that junk in our life. It causes us to stumble. It causes us to fail. It's this human situation that we're in. Jesus says you can walk in the spirit, or you can walk in the flesh. Right? It's your choice. You know, Paul's bearing out his soul because he knows what it's all about. He knows what is right and what he wanted to do, and he could not do it, and he knew what he was wrong, and the last thing he wanted to do was do that. But for some reason, he did it anyway. Man, how many people has been there? You don't have to show your hands. Because I know we've all been there. He felt like two people living inside of him.
Yeah.
And I believe I've heard Brother Keeley even say that it's like living with two wolves that live inside of you. And it's the one that you feed the most is the one that overcomes the other. That's why this living sacrifice, this take up your cross and follow Him, this living sacrifice is to lay ourselves on the altar and die out to flesh and give it all to Christ. That's what all that means. You have to make a choice this morning. The choice is to allow God to work in your life. And I'll say, if you've not made that choice to have Jesus as your Savior, what better time than now?
Amen.
Amen. What better time than now? But if you've done that, the second choice is allow God to work in your life and get out those things that cause you to stumble. Get rid of those strongholds in your life, because I'm telling you, they'll root up and they'll grow and they'll continue to root and they'll get deep and strong roots and they'll continue to hold you down.
Yeah.
And you'll struggle until you're able to get rid of that stuff. God gives us all these chances. I talked about these chances that I took advantage of. And I don't believe that they're coincidence. I believe God gives us chances every day. You know, when somebody preaches a message or gives a lesson in Sunday school and the pastor preaches on the same thing, that's not a coincidence. I've heard that many times. Man, you know what we talked about in Sunday school? It's exactly what you preached about. It's like, well, I didn't know. These guys prepare, a lot of them prepare their own lessons. You're not here this morning by coincidence. Amen? God intended to speak to you and to me this morning. And I'm thankful. I thank God that you're here today. It's not God's fault that we miss opportunities for Him to speak to us. I look back at all the chances that God gave me to hear His Word and to learn His lessons from people and situations in my life that I just walked away from. Man, He has offered so much to me in my life. And some of them I responded to and some of them I didn't. I can't change my past, but I sure can change my future. Amen?
Amen.
I can change what I do from here out, and so can you. Man, it's not, you know, God forgave us of our past, but I tell you, it's a good reminder to say, you know what, I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to live for Him every day. And that's what this call to holiness is all about. I'm going to give up more of myself every day and take in more of Him every day. And we're going to do that until the day we cross over into heaven. Amen?
Amen.
It's not a one-time get-it-all thing. It's a daily walk with Him. Colossians 2:20-23 says, since you died with Christ to the elementary spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom, but with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. If you're trying to live by the rules in your own strength and in your own power, you can't do it. God intends more for your life, is what I'm trying to say. You're never more free than when you're enslaved to Christ. Colossians 3:1-3 says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died. Listen to me. You died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is in your life, appears, and when you are also, you also will appear with Him in glory. Amen? Listen to this. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, the sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry, because of these things the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these things, these ways, in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self and its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of the Creator. Here there is no Gentile, no Jew, no circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and in all. Amen?
Amen.
It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion and kindness and humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. I like that, where you once were. You died to that. This is not who you are anymore. This is who you are now. You're alive in Christ. God gives us all these chances to draw close to Him, to be more like Him. It's not coincidence that this happens. It's intentional. And we must all be intentional. And this morning, we have to make a choice this morning. The choice of allowing God into our lives and allowing the Holy Spirit of God to dwell within us and fill us to overflowing with His Spirit. And I say this, we can't overlook that. Not this morning, not today, not in the world we live in today. We can't overlook that, because God called us to be different, to be set apart, to be a unique, to be aliens, to not be citizens of this world. Come on now, what's that look like? To be not a part of this world. Romans 6:22-23. We got to make changes. Now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the gift results in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. One preacher I heard say one time, we are all chained like a slave to a plow and driven to hopelessness by sin, but Christ has set us free. Amen. Isn't that good? I'm trying to finish up here. We all need this change in our life. We should all be allowing God to make those changes in our life. And we can't do it ourselves. It takes Him to do it for us. And that's really what it's all about. It's about allowing God to take control of your life completely, 100%. Turn it over to Him. We cannot do that without His help. I'm going to ask you to do something this morning. You know, we live in a broken world, and we're always trying to find ways to fix it. And I'm asking you this morning, can you bring yourselves? Can you bring yourselves to the Lord this morning? Can you open up your hearts and allow Him to do what He needs to do in your life? I have to allow Him to do those things in my life, not just last year or 10 years ago, but every day. I have to allow Him to do it today and tomorrow and next week and every day of my life until I cross over into heaven, because I need Him to take care of me. Amen. I cannot do it on my own. That's simple. It's just simply responding and surrendering your life to Him. Holy doesn't mean perfect. Let me tell you. It means being more like Christ and lining up with His perfect plan. That's what it means. I think too many times we've misunderstood what that really meant. This is day and age that we live in is very controversial and very divisive, and it's dividing churches all over. And it's time we got to act like who we say we are. Ouch. That's me too. I'm going to be a Nazarene preacher. I better act like a Nazarene preacher. Amen?
Amen. You better act like one.
That's what I got to act like. I don't know what that means. I'm letting God work on me for that. But it means I got to be who I say I am. That's really what it means. I am God's representative. Representative of Jesus Christ. I'm His ambassador. He wants to empower each and every one of us with His Holy Spirit. So I'm praying this morning that each one of us, before we leave here today, you receive the Holy Spirit into your life more than you've ever had it before. Let Him fill you with an overflowing abundance of peace and mercy and love that you've never felt before. That's my prayer for you today. They're going to play a song. And if you want to just stay right where you're at, that's fine. If you want to stand and worship, stand and worship. If you want to come and kneel at this altar, come and kneel at this altar. This is about giving more of ourselves away and taking in more of what Christ wants for us. Amen. Amen.